Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Hello, my fantastic audience. Oh, I'm so excited to be here. We're going to have a really good conversation. So first of all, I want to start off with saying this is the 300th episode. And I want to thank all of you fantastic audience listeners who, you know, have given me great ideas, wonderful feedback. It's why I show up. So I just want to take a moment for all of my listeners to say, I love you from the bottom of my heart, and I deeply, deeply appreciate you. And if it wasn't for you guys and gals, if it wasn't for my audience, I wouldn't keep creating this podcast. So thank you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the topics and remember and the feedback. And as always, I'm really loving creating, these next series of episodes. A lot of them have been because of the audience like you wanting a particular topic for me to cover. So make sure you send me your requests. You can send them to through my website. You can send them through email. You can send them through wherever you happen to listen to an episode. Reach out to me. Okay. I want to create content that you want to hear. All right. So today we're going to talk about, I know I've talked a lot about communication because, you know, we're going to talk about communication today because, and I chose communication as this particular topic is huge. And I've done many episodes over the last 300 that have talked about different forms of communications, ways to do it, tools, strategies. So if you're like, okay, I really like what she had to say, I recommend you going back and listening to some of the other communication episodes, because it can be very, very helpful to give you some even more tools. But today, we're going to talk about how to overcome challenges to communication during sex. You know, what to say, how to say it, when to say it. Right? So, because this communication is key to having an orgasmic life across the board. The ability to communicate to your partner or partners, your ability to communicate with your family, your ability to communicate with your friends, your ability to communicate with your coworkers, the ability to communicate, everything that creates an environment and a life that you want to have is best epic skills of communication. The better your skills in the realm of communication in all areas of your life will improve greatly. The number one reason shit goes sideways in your life is because of lack of communication. Hands down, you take a moment and pause about all the things that got shitty or went sideways or relationships went crazy. If you were able to find the way to communicate and, before you lost your shit or before the person lost their shit, you wouldn't have had to have so much chaos and crisis and drama. Okay. So communication, even though we talk a lot about it because it's a skill. And just because we can speak doesn't mean we know how to communicate. Those are two different things. Okay. So let's come back to today's aspect of communication we're going to explore. Overcoming challenges of communication during sex. What to say, when to say it, and how to say it. So the first thing is, let's talk about, you know, the fear of, and I'm going to do a whole episode on, you know, the fear of shame and rejection, embarrassment about communicating during sex. Okay. So next week's episode, we're going to dive deep into those places of the reasons why we have a hard time asking for what we want, or, you know, asking for what we need, or listening to what somebody else wants, or asking them to tell you what you want. So we're going to dive into that next week. Okay. Promise. Cross my heart. Hope to die. Poke a needle in my eye. So here's the thing. You cannot get epic sex unless you are willing to risk and ask for what you want. And we're all afraid. We're all afraid of all of the things I just talked about: shame, rejection, embarrassment, all those things. And over the years of working with couples, I have found that the quickest and best and easiest way to start the process of being able to risk is doing this exercise. Okay. And it's a really silly exercise, and it's a really simple exercise. It may feel like, oh my God, there's no way I could do that. But I'm telling you, if you can do it together, then it makes it very easy to say a little more to the left, please, a little bit to the right, please, harder, faster, spank my ass, all the wonderful dirty talk that can happen. But it's like breaking the first barrier. Once we break it open, then the rest of it becomes more easy, right? So we could spend hours and years learning about how to, you know, overcome our fears, or we can just rip off the Band-Aid and just do it together. Okay, you ready for this exercise? Now, again, it's a silly exercise, and you're going to feel like an idiot. You're going to feel ridiculous. But the nice thing is, whoever else you're having sex with also is going to feel the same thing at the same time. And it works. It works. It always works. Every fucking time. Okay? So, you're going to stand in front of your lover or lovers if you're about ready to have group sex, which is awesome if you are. And you're all going to stand there naked. Yeah, we're gonna rip it all off. All right, you're gonna stand each other, look at each other naked. All right, then you're gonna look at each other, and you're going to stick out your tongue. Now, I'm going to make some pretty loud sounds, so you may want to turn down the volume in a moment. Okay, so, and I'll move away from the mic, so maybe it won't be so loud. But yes, just be prepared. I'm gonna make some loud sounds. So you're standing in front of each other naked, feeling really stupid and embarrassed and quite ridiculous. Then you're gonna stick out your tongue at each other, which is gonna make you feel giggly and silly, and you're gonna be like, this is stupid. Why is guy making us do this? Just listen, I'm telling you, this works. Here's the deal. If you do this whole exercise and it doesn't work, then send me a message and we can have a conversation and figure out, is it the exercise or was it something about the exercise that may have triggered some other stuff? Okay. So it's also important that if you have trauma background and if you've ever been humiliated in a traumatic sort of way, this exercise, I don't recommend you to do. Okay. If that's the case, reach out to me so we can help heal you before you do this exercise, and then it's going to make it even worse. Okay. All right. So stand naked. Stick out your tongue. And everybody laughs. Then you're going to go and you're going to make this sound. Ready? It's the wild turkey. So I'm turn down the volume. Now, you can do it. So if you're like, I don't know how to make that sound, it's very, and you don't have to make the sound perfect. The whole point is that you're risking with each other. You're doing something ridiculous with each other. and you are risking with each other. And because you are risking with each other and ridiculous with each other and naked with each other, it kind of gets rid of a lot of that programming that you've been carrying around about being serious during sex and not being able to ask and fear and all the things that we're going to dive deep into next week. Okay. So this is like a lovely little hack. Now, it doesn't matter if you make the sound right. That's not the point. The point is that everybody's being silly together. So, but if you want to learn how to make the sound, you go start with you stick your tongue out. And then you move your tongue in and out with a lower sound. Now, if you're listening to me and you're not seeing me, it's definitely worthwhile for entertainment purposes alone to go see the video over on FetLife, which is now where all my videos live of my orgasmic life, because I'm tired of YouTube and other social media platforms censoring me. Okay. So definitely worthwhile. Where were we? Okay. So tongue out. Next level. Blah, 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 blah. Good. Now we're going to speed up our tongue. Blah, 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 blah. Now we're going to speed up our, we're going to increase our level of our octave. All right, there's your wild turkey. Now, there's another benefit of doing the wild turkey from a overall communication level, okay? So often when we have a hard time asking for what we want, and when we're having sex, we're the most vulnerable. So this is why it can be the most challenging piece of like just doing it. Even though your partner wants you to do it, just can't. It's because our throat chakra has been closed, or you have been silenced in some capacity, in some form of your life. You've been made wrong. You've been gaslit. There's like it's been dangerous. You said something once and there was consequences that were not pleasant at all. Everything from unpleasant to maybe unsafe. So when you do the wild turkey, whether that's naked in front of your lover, or just in general doing the wild turkey when you're out in the world or when you're in the car, it helps to open up your throat chakra. Now, for all of everybody, the other benefit of doing the wild turkey is that it helps to loosen up your tongue. And which helps with oral sex and kissing and licky licky and sucky sucky, where you get some tongue action in there. It's good to have strong tongue and a very flexible tongue. So I highly recommend, whether you're standing naked in front of your lover or you're at the grocery store, do the wild turkey. And the last thing about the wild turkey before we get into how does this apply to how do we ask for sex in during sex is it's great to do call and response with kids. Kids love the wild turkey. It makes them very, very happy. And it prevents you from having to yell at them all the time. They're used to you yelling at them and them ignoring you. So when you do the wild turkey, they're like, ooh, first of all, they perk up and they can hear you. And then they do the callback. So they don't have to yell. You don't have to yell. You can just do wild turkey. And then it helps them also making sounds is a safe environment, so that later on when they get older, they won't have to stand in front of their potential partner naked and do the wild turkey, because they'll feel very comfortable already communicating and making sounds and being heard. Okay. So all those powerful wild turkey, let's do it. All right. Now, once you've done the wild turkey, you'll feel very silly, but you'll all feel silly. So it's okay. You're equally silly in that point. Now, while you're in so how you say things makes a huge difference. Okay. So here are some of the challenges that happen. So one, the partner is doing something that's not really, it's not doing it for you. Okay. Or it hurts. And your tone is exasperated, because you're kind of annoyed in that moment, or you were just about to have an orgasm and they fucking moved. And so your tone is an important piece of, because if you're like, to the left, ow, no, and you push somebody away, right? Like these often are what typically, by the time somebody's ready to like say no to the thing, it's a rejection. And it feels like a rejection because it actually is a rejection, because you're at that point, you're exasperated, you're annoyed, and you're frustrated, and you are pushing them away in what, and at that point, they don't feel like, it feels like a criticism. It doesn't feel like a, this is what I want right now, can you give that to me, please? It's like, you're failing, wrong, fail, wrong, fail, because your mannerisms and your tone is like, in your head, you're like, for fuck's sakes, what the hell's wrong with you, is what's happening, okay? So there's the first challenge. Don't wait until you're ready to be like, what the fuck, before you say something. Because if you wait that long, it's not going to be received well. The person's going to be like, well, that's not sexy. You're not giving, you know, you're not giving me instructions. You're angry or annoyed at me, and that doesn't feel sexy. Okay. So that's the first challenge. So changing that narrative by being like, you know, and also part of communicating during sex is not just the, hey, I need something different. It's also the reinforcement of that's really good. Right. So when somebody is touching you, making sounds, which is part of why I talked about going and doing the wild turkey, because it makes it easier to make sounds, you know, sounds of pleasure being, oh man, that feels so good. Oh shit, that's great. Yeah, thank you. Oh yeah. Being able to make encouraging sounds also allows your partner to know that what they're doing is good and that you want more of it. Because you're encouraging them and you're telling them how much you like it. And then they can get excited. So here's the piece around when we're silent in bed, it's not fucking sexy. It's not. It's like having sex with a dead person. It's like necrophilia. It's not sexy. With no verbal cues, nonverbal cues, or body language, the lover, your lover, who's trying to please you, which is why they're in bed with you, because they want you to have pleasure just like you want them to have pleasure. And if that's not your motivator, then call me so we can sort out why, and heal whatever's going on there. So they want to give you pleasure, but they don't know what you like because they're not a fucking mind reader, and they're not supposed to be a mind reader. No one's supposed to be a mind reader. Even mind readers aren't supposed to be a mind reader when it comes to sex. All right. So giving that beautiful, encouraging feedback also allows your lover to be really, help them to build their like arousal and confidence and being able to get into it and knowing and being able to trust in themselves that they'll be able to read what you need and what you want. But it starts with moaning. These sounds are like, the brain's like, oh, okay, we're on track. How you breathe, how your body moves, allowing yourself to move and make sounds allows your partner to know what's happening. And then when you say, oh, that's really good. Can you go to the left a little bit more? Oh my God, that's the spot. Don't move. Holy shit, that's good. See, that feels good. That feels good for your lover. And it feels good for you to be like, because now you're getting exactly the way you want it. The pressure you want it, where you want it, how you want it. And it's beautiful. And you're getting to have all this incredible pleasure. Versus just laying there, taking it and hoping to hell, crossing your fingers, that they know what they're doing and that today is the day that they're going to figure out what you want. That sounds like a very long and not really potentially gratifying experience for anybody. And again, that encouragement, you want to give the sounds, you want to make the sounds. And often we are taught it's not allowed to make sounds. It's not allowed to, we're not allowed to express our pleasure. We're not allowed to express joy. We're not allowed to express those things. We have to keep them deep, quiet. No one needs to know. And part of that is because of childhood stuff and blah, blah, blah. And we'll talk about that in, you know, the next chapter where we go into all the, you know, the psychological side of things of why that may be happening. But it really is part of you risking and opening up. You know what that means? Get what you want. Sometimes you may not even know that you needed it that way until the moment where it's like so close to perfect, so close, so close. And just in that moment, you need it a little faster, a little slower, a little harder, or a little more spit, or a little, you know, a little more tugging on the testicles or finger up your bum, whatever it is, tweak your nipples, whatever it is. It's going to take this from an epic experience to over the top. And that is the key to having an or my orgasmic life is communication, communication, communication. Now, so the person who's directing the experience, that's part of it. Encouragement, support, you know, be like, yes, that's good. That's great. Holy shit. Holy fuck. That's a spot. Don't move. Okay. And then when you're ready for, you know, them something else, you can be like, oh, good. All right, carry on. And they can, you know, carry on. But none of that is like in this whole angry, militant, bossing around way. Now, as a Dom, now, if we're talking about from communication from a BDSM perspective, you know, when I am with a subby, my language changes versus when I'm with a lover. Okay. So because my subbies, it turns them on to be told very clearly what to do and to use them like a little fuck toy. That's part of the dynamic that turns them on. So me saying please and thank you is really not in the vocabulary, but good boy when they get it right, or good girl when they get it right, or oh yeah, that's good. Oh yes, good job. Good job. So they still want the reinforcement, but my language may be more left, right, harder, faster, stop, don't move, carry on, right? Like, so my tone may change and it's more directive versus the whole as a lover. It's like, oh my God, it's so good. Yes, please. Oh, little left. Oh yeah, that's the spot. That's different than to the left, to the right, stop. Me coming, whatever I'm doing, whatever it is that I have them doing, whether it's giving them a massage or whatever, worshiping my feet, whatever it is. And then I'll be like, carry on. But again, it's depending on the dynamic. So I just wanted to talk into that piece because, you know, me as Empress Gaia is different than me Gaia as lover. And so in my audience, I know a lot of you are kinksters. So I just wanted to give you, you know, how from a kinkster perspective. Now, what's the responsibility of the person who wants the direction, needs some direction, or just wants to double check that it's going well? Because as we know, not everybody's good at communicating. And not everybody feels safe to communicate. So let's talk about that. All right. So let's say the biggest communication stage usually is in the oral sex department. And then, you know, some more a little bit while we're, you know, having some penetrative sex. Okay. But the most communication of like hitting the right spots and getting it the right way and like moving it to the like the next level is often in oral sex. So say I'm the licky, licker. I'm the licker. I'm the sucker. I will do, let's do some cock sucking. I love cock sucking. I also like licky licky too. So, you know, the beautiful thing of being pansexual. Variety. Anyways, so from a cock sucking standpoint, you know, I'm, you know, again, as a master communicator, as part of my skill, one of my skill sets, my superpowers, I'm very good at being able to read the room, read the body language, read the moans. And there's many times when I'm with a lover that isn't vocal or expressive or whatever, I will check in and be like, are you still awake? She either, I say, I'm like, are you still awake? Are you with me still? Are you here with me? They're like, oh, yeah. And then at that time, I might be like, okay, how's this pressure? How's this rhythm? Would you like me to pull harder? Would you like me to be softer? How would, you know, like, so probing questions can help when somebody doesn't have necessarily yet the skills and to feel safe to communicate. All right. So it's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to ask during it to ask those questions. Now, if somebody's clearly in the moment of orgasmic bliss, don't start asking them questions at that moment. Okay. That's like a douche move. I say that not with judgment, but just in general, like when you're in the middle of it, of your orgasmic release in whatever capacity that looks like, the last thing you want to be people asking you questions feels like you're going under interrogation. Right. I'm obviously having a good time at what's happening. Let me finish having a good time with what's happening. And then afterwards, you can check in when we do a debrief and you can check in, you know, you can, you know, as we continue to the next, ramping up to the next orgasmic, wonderful time, you know, you can ask, but not when somebody's in the middle of it. It pulls them out of the moment, drops them into their head and the part of them that has to communicate with their mouth, which means they have to think, which means that they usually, you'll ruin their orgasm. Now, from a kink perspective, and you want to ruin somebody's, but you want to ruin somebody's orgasm, that's a great way to do it. How many fingers am I holding up? You know, with the square root of blah, blah, blah. All right, so like that kind of stuff, if you're, you know, going to ruin from a kink perspective, and that's some orgasm control and denial and delay and stuff, then, you know, yeah. But otherwise, please don't ask questions. Even if they're lovely questions, don't ask questions when somebody's on, they're in it. They're in that moment. They've come up to the top and they're about ready to go over the edge of orgasmic bliss. Don't bug them. Let them. And when they're coming down, don't drill them with a bunch of questions either. Like they're in their afterglow, let them stay in their afterglow for a moment before you start to ask questions, okay? Again, unless you're a kinkster and then you're there's a whole other game that you're playing, and then, you know, feel free to bug them however you want. It's part of the joy of the game, okay? Let me see, challenges? So that's how we ask for what we want. And again, how to make sure that you're not demanding it unless it's a agreed upon contract because there's a power exchange thing going on. But remember, don't say it when you're annoyed or exasperated or, you know, needing them to go away. That will help. Now, the person who's receiving the instructions. So here's really important. When somebody tells you lighter, then fucking go lighter. Don't continue the same thing that you're doing because you're excited and it's you think that this is the way to work. Don't do that. You know, usually I'm pretty like non-judgmental in this department, but this is and it's not a judgment. It's just a fact. If somebody risks and asks for what they want, listen to them. Don't think you know better. Don't think that, you know, well, that's what always works last time, so I'm going to do the same thing. Listen to your partner. Just like they will listen to you. this today might be not the day that you really like the thing that you normally like. Your body may not want that. Listen and then take action. When you listen and you take action, you know what happens? Your partner trusts you more, feels safe with you more, is more vulnerable, which means vulnerability and trust means more freaky sex. The more trust, the more vulnerability, the kinkier you get to explore sex because the person trusts you. So when they communicate with you, listen. And when you can ask for clarification in your debrief time, okay? And I've talked lots about the importance of debriefing, whether it's from a kink perspective, power exchange, to just having everyday sexual experiences. It's an important part in which we say, okay, these were my favorite parts, and here's how I would like it done a little bit differently, or maybe we could explore it in a different way. There was something there that I thought, oh, there was a thought that I had that might turn me on, and I'd like to explore it. So this is, and again, when we do our debrief, just like when we give our lovers feedback, you want to do, these are all the awesome things about the experience, and here are some things that I would like to explore differently. Not that they were bad, but I would just, let's try them in a different way. Let's see what happens, because we're sexual adventurers. We're explorers. And that makes it easier for the person receiving that information to receive that information for what it is, which is just data and information, so that, you can bring your game even more. You can keep upping your game every time. And just because you up your game doesn't mean that your game sucked before, by the way. Like, it's not all or nothing. It's not black or white here. It's a, that was awesome, and let's explore something else and see what comes out of it. Right? Opening up to that possibility. So communicate during and debrief after. Come from a place of, here's all the things I'm enjoying. And, right now that feels good, but, can you move it a little bit to the left? Oh my God, that's the spot. Shit, yeah. See, that feels different then. To the left. Now, unless we're doing some kink power exchange stuff, but otherwise, it's like, one is like, ooh, I'm doing well. I'm doing good. Because we all want to know that we're doing a good job. We all want a praise. We all love praise. So we want the praise. And then you can ask for something different that allows the person to be like, sure, no problem. I can move my tongue a little bit over that way, or I can, suck your this a little bit harder. Sure. Because it's not about your, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not about whether or not you're a good lover or not, whether it's about whether you're paying attention and listening and being present. If you pay attention and listen and be present and do when your partner communicates with you, you will always be an epic lover. Always. Hands down. Because that's where it lives. It lives in that ability to create space, to listen, to create vulnerability and trust, and which will allow you to explore more and deeper and better. Not better. I don't want to use the word better. More. Just more and different possibilities are open up. Okay? All right. So no barking orders, unless that's a part of your kink experience. Spend some time communicating. If it's hard for you to communicate and you haven't done this with a new, and it's a new lover or it's current lover that you guys seem to struggle with communicating, remember, do the wild turkey, stand in front of each other naked, give a little, and then off you go to roll around naked with each other. And it also loosens up your tongue for some oral sex. And I highly recommend making the wild turkey a part of your lifestyle across the board. The more you do it, the easier it will be, and actually the easier it is for you to risk and communicate. I know it seems very odd and very silly, but this is one of those places of over 20 years of experience in helping people to articulate and communicate what they need especially in the most vulnerable times and the most vulnerable places, it works. Okay. Next, we'll talk about talking dirty. So, we talked about communication. This is about asking for what you need. I have done an episode or two on talking dirty, but I'm going to dive deeper, a little bit deeper into, coming up in, next in the roster of episodes, talking dirty and how, when, and what to say. We'll revisit that piece from, now I'm on a communication role right now. So let's get her done. All right. And as always, if you need me, you know where to find me. You go to guymorissette.com for all your kink needs. Go to empressgaia.com. You want to go see the video, make sure you go see me at FetLife, and that's Empress-Gaia. And if you want to see more of me, you can, like, really more of me, literally more of me, you can visit me at Loyal Fans, and I am Empress Gaia 1 on it. All right. Till next time, wild turkey. Bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know, because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.